Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field in the ever-changing oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with Dan Hetherington as part of our weekly Davis Refinery update. The cleanest refinery is being built on the planet right now. Well, the behind-the-scenes stuff is, anyways. And we're getting closer to breaking ground. Dan Hetherington gives us an update in our weekly Davis Refinery update, being billed as the cleanest refinery on the planet, coming to Belfield, North Dakota. It is the first refinery being built in 50 years in the United States, Greenfield Refinery, right there in Belfield, North Dakota. All right, then our groundbreakers segment, our EnviroTech, our innovation, is Stephen Tidwell with Tidwell Industries. He's got an environmental product that is doing some wonders in shale plays across the United States. And I tell you, it is one of those products that saves money and also makes the EPA happy. You're going to want to stick around for this interview with Stephen Tidwell with Tidwell Industries on how he's saving money for oil and gas companies and making the EPA happy, cleaning up oil spills, doing all that dirty work out there in the oil patch. Okay, and then you know what? We're going to talk a little bit water a little later on in the program. And John Patchy's with the North Dakota Department of Health, their water division. And we're going to talk about the kind of the speculation that the Bakken may need 20 times more water than what the leaders overseeing the oil and gas industry projected. So we might have some new numbers. At least they're being challenged by several different sources. And I asked John Patch about that, whether or not the rumors are true that the Bakken will need 20 times more water than originally thought. All that plus much more right here on Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Now it's easy to see how I could become.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dan Hetherington with SEH with our weekly Davis Refinery update.
One of the things I was really surprised to hear, because I heard it on multiple occasions, was that some of the, well, like a lot of the local people were concerned about private property rights. And, you know, when does, you know, an entity reach outside, you know, and start imposing restrictions or requirements on private property? So I was, you know, very pleased to see that, you know, a lot of the supporters that were there, you know, period, because people come out on a night that they'd rather be home with their families and stuff. But I also surprised at what some of their heart issues were, their issues that were close to their heart. I mean, obviously they all wanted to know what the emissions were going to be and stuff, but some of them were there for, you know, their own personal reasons. Some were there for, you know, private property rights issues. Some were there for, you know, just to try to stop an oil and gas industry project, you know, in general. So we had a pretty good mix.
Yeah, I heard most of it was pretty well positive. And like I said, my flies in the wall, they reported back stereotypical concerns. And, you know, whether good or bad, doesn't matter. And that's just, you know, I think everybody knows what those are. My question, I guess, my next question is, Billings and Stark County are the two that are going to benefit from this, Belfield, North Dakota, where Billings County, and then I don't even think Billings County has 1,000 people living in the county, actually. I think they're just under 1,900 and some. And then you got Stark County, which is right next to it where Dickinson is. And Dickinson was one of the fastest growing micropolitans in the United States the last 3, 4 years, 5 years. Did they have anybody from the public officials speak? Any residents get up and speak about, you know, you mentioned the property rights one, but I know we've talked about jobs in the past and a few other things. Anybody from, from a public standpoint or a citizen Tory standpoint from Billings or Stark get up and talk at all?
Yeah, actually, they did. I mean, so, like I said, a lot of the people that were there supportive, they were just, you know, kind of listening to what, you know, people that had concerns were trying to voice. But the we did, you know, saw a lot of people there. By the way, a lot of people, just governing officials from Dickinson, from Stark County, and from Billings County, but also Belfield. So Belfield, woman spoke up representing the community, talking about how important it was to her and her family, but also to the community as a whole. And, you know, we were just, you know, thrilled to hear that type of support and people recognizing how important it's going to be. It's not only going to be just, you know, something really good for Billings County and Stark County and Belfield and Dickinson. And Dickinson is this, you know, this business hub in the area. It's easily recognizable. Belfield is extremely supportive, and they have a, you know, great downtown district, and people are going to love to live in that area. But, you know, this thing is going to be impactful for, you know, the state. It's going to be impactful for the nation as a whole. In general, I mean, there's you know, recognition that diversity and location for refineries is a very important thing. So a quick example, when the hurricanes hit the Gulf Coast, it was something like, you know, we lost 30% of the refining capacity in the United States was down during that time frame. And that's harmful. That's a big deal. I mean, it affects gas prices. It affects a lot of different things. So because they're all, you know, collected in this general area, in that general area, when weather impacts happen and things like that, there are big impacts to the industry as a whole and to the services that are provided in the United States. Well, if we can have more of that kind of stuff up in North Dakota and other locations, then all of a sudden, you know, that capacity doesn't, not so much of it goes offline. Now, we don't want any of it to go offline, but the fact is that if something like that happens, if you have diversity in locations, you have multiple, you know, refineries across the United States, and especially starting with North Dakota, all of a sudden it's less harmful to the nation as a whole. There's a lot of big benefits to this project.
And I'm going to mention, as a journalist, I'm excited to start uncovering the economic study benefits, some of the projects with the university that have been going on. So from a selfish standpoint, I'm really excited to keep telling this story, because I firmly believe that this is the shale era. We've had the copper era, the gold era, you know, all these different things. This is the oil and gas, or the shale, or the fossil fuel era on our planet's history. And the Bakken is going to be a chapter, and the Davis Refinery is going to be a chapter in the Bakken. And it's very exciting to be a part of this. I want to quickly ask you about the Department of Health before I get off my soapbox there for a second. But the department, I always find it interesting when the state officials are doing these public meetings. Like I mentioned earlier, the public doesn't necessarily know how targeted some of these meetings are at times. And so they just got to accept the good and the bad, the ugly sometimes, you know. And I'm not saying that you're speaking on behalf of the Department of Health, nor are you an expert in body language, or maybe you are, but how did the Department of Health handle this meeting? And then on the flip side of it, how did the people handle what the Department of Health had to offer?
Well, actually, both were handled very, very well. I really do have to say that. The department handled it extremely professionally. They got up, they like I said, in the, you know, originally, they did a presentation on their authority and, you know, how they operate. They went into the Meridian projects, emissions, and where it is in comparison to other projects or other other entities across the state, and then they handled it very professionally. People were given time limits. Everyone was respected. Everybody was, you know, given appropriate, you know, direction and how to do things and where to talk and how to make your voices heard, and also given an opportunity to say, you know, if you don't want to talk, don't worry about it. Just go ahead and write something in if you want to and send it to us.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hetherington with SEH or to listen to other weekly Davis Refinery updates, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Watch it shine so bright underneath the stage lights. You've been up all night driving home and corner your old midnight.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, in our Groundbreakers segment, we talk with one of the individuals who is revolutionizing the oil and gas industry through environmental technology. His name is Stephen Tidwell. He's with Tidwell Industries, and when it comes to cleanup, in situ remediation, and other dirty work, he is a leader in the field, and he's got a product that is saving money across oil and gas, shale play across shale play. All right, this is part one of the interview with Stephen Tidwell with Tidwell Industries. We're being joined now with Stephen Tidwell with Tidwell Industries. And before we get into some of the cost savings, which we're going to talk about, and some of the remediation technology that he has, including some of the boots on the ground work that he does, let's start off by finding a little bit more about Tidwell Industries and Stephen himself. So first off, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you today?
Doing excellent. It's a great day to be alive and a great day to be in the energy industry, huh?
Yes, sir. It's exciting times.
You know, it truly is. And, you know, let's talk about your company a little bit. You know, I like to start off interviews by giving people a little bit of a plug for their business, you know. Talk about who your customer is. Talk about who you're trying to connect with, that sort of thing. And then what it is that you do for a service and in order to feed yourself and your family. Go ahead and give yourself a little plug, Stephen.
Yeah, so 15 years ago, me and my father, who were just two farm boys trying to work hard to make a living, we come across a guy that developed a product to stick a insulation to a wood-burning furnace and to hold in the heat so that the heat wouldn't distribute out into the warehouse. The guy had found out that later on it worked on hydrocarbons, so my father, being 20 years with Schlumberger, had just retired, and so he knew quite a bit about it, so we picked it up. And I was right there with him. We pushed it hard, and, you know, 15 years later, here we are. Here recently, I've started my own distributorship for everything south of I-10 down south, with the ability to sell, of course, all over the state. But
Yeah, we built it off of just hard work and reputation. We had first initially started this company off as to be successful on a local level. My father was very successful on that, and as being the son, I had, you know, bigger aspirations, more time to work with, so we looked at doing, you know, bigger and better things with the product. So here we are 15 years later. We've worked for some of the top people in the industry, midstream, upstream, and downstream, and we have a great record with those companies, and I have no doubt that anybody that we do business with would give a personal reference to that quality of work that we do and providing the best products. So that's the company how I got started, and now Tidwell Industries.
Your father, 20 years experience, Schlumberger, spun off, created his own company. You would be second or third generation? I say third because I guess, did your grandfather work in the industry too, or was your father the first one in the oil and gas industry, making you a second generation oilman?
Definitely a second generation, but grandfather was a farmer, somewhat of a business owner at the start.
I'd like you to hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Stephen Tidwell with Tidwell Industries will continue the discussion about innovation, environmental tech, as well as saving money in the oil and gas industry. All right, my name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. In your core, if your grandfather was a farmer and your father was an oil man, it sounds to me like you got a good respect for industry and land in terms of just, you know, with your general upbringing. So, Let's get into the interview here a little bit, if you wouldn't mind. The reason we wanted to bring Mr. Stephen Tidwell on was several reasons, but one of the main reasons is, of course, many oil companies out there are always looking at saving money, especially when the oil prices drop down, that sort of thing. And one of the pencil-to-paper examples that many of us heard how oil companies were saving money was frac sand, whether it be in Illinois or Wisconsin or Arizona, whether they found whatever it was, the frac sand people had to figure out a way to make it a little bit cheaper, and that's well-documented. If you go to any industry publication, you can see that's a very popular example. So I wanted to bring everybody another example of how industry and energy companies are finding significant savings, how they're finding ways to become smart, clever capitalists. And we got one with us today. And, you know, it sounds to me like his dad understood the industry and now he's rolling this in. So let's talk a little bit about how you're saving some money for these oil and gas companies, because that's what they want to know first and foremost. So let's start with that out of the gate, and then we'll backdoor into how you do it next, okay?
That sounds good. Yeah, so the biggest problem with oil remediation or any kind of hydrocarbon remediation in the industry, as most people would know, if you've been in the industry, the number one concern is the cost. Not only the cost to actually remove it, but there's also a big problem with overpricing with certain materials and things like that on the job. So most people know the cost that go into actually doing a remediation. So those the main problems in that are probably going to be mostly with labor and equipment use. So the traditional method of actually remediating a job site would be to dig and haul. It's called the dig and haul method. So that would be the process, which I'll try to paint a picture. So you have a remediation company that will come to a contaminated site. They'll bring generally 15 to 20 guys, maybe a little bit less. And they're going to bring in a bunch of heavy equipment. There in itself, it lies a bunch of problems with moving heavy equipment around gas lines and things like that. But as you can see, that would cost quite a bit of money. So you're using all these men for these long labor hours, this heavy equipment, all the materials that they're going to be overcharging you for and making money off of, plus the packaging of this contaminated material. And next thing would be the transportation of that material, which the moment that you remove a contaminant from a site, you now have a paper trail that you have to keep up with that contaminated material for state regulations. So in, right there, there's extra work that's involved. It's a big situation, not to mention the moment that the hazardous material is transported to hazardous dump site. So there you have a really large cost per barrel, per type of material. Each place is kind of different, but they eat up a lot of cost there. So that's been one of the major problems in the industry as far as cost and remediation is concerned, and it's a really big problem. And I think we spearhead that with the product that we have.
Am I hearing you right that you're bringing this new technology in? And for all I know, it might be an old technology, but new to the industry. But you're actually seeing that companies are saving money?
Yes, that's right. It is a new product, although we've been in business 15 years. Like I said, we originally started off to be on a local level. So we stayed under the radar. We learned how to grow a business. We learned how to become businessmen. We kind of took some time off the clock. For two farmers to learn how to run the business, learn how to use a product of this magnitude. But yes, we are spearheading the industry right now. And that's not just talk, that's not just reputation, that's actual experience. We've been working for some of the top companies, and they still use us 15 years later because of the fact that we saved them money on their costs. There's a whole lot of other benefits that come along with it, such as, taking away the appearance of the spill so that there's nothing there to see. It doesn't cause a whole lot of attraction. So, we're kind of a comfortability measure to the customer. But, yeah, definitely leading the market. And
I'd like you to hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Stephen Tidwell with Tidwell Industries will continue the discussion about innovation, environmental tech, as well as saving money in the oil and gas industry. All right, my name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio Herd on the Crude Life Media Network.
She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com.
That hand should have seen it coming. A hatchet and a budget block. But she was too wrapped up, strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to me. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. What do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio Herd on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we continue our discussion with Stephen Tidwell with Tidwell Industries about environmental technology, saving money for the oil and gas industries, and how important the boots on the ground can be when it comes to oil and gas. This is part two of our interview with Stephen Tidwell of Tidwell Industries. Sticking on environmental and technology, or environmental tech, energy tech was a word they used several years ago as well, but then they found out that the new technology was so environmental friendly, and they kind of hybrided those in there. And that is very important when we're talking about remediation, we're talking about cleanup, reclamation, whatever the word is we want to use, and we're going to use remediation for this. Well, first off, on-site, are you doing on-site? We'll get into the technology part in just a second here, but do you guys do on-site too?
Yes, that's actually problem number two in the top three that I have for remediation industry. It's typically called, or how we use the term, it's in-situ remediation, which is going to be on-site remediation, and that's the process of turning a contaminated spill into a non-hazardous material or deeming it clean to be able to pass the EPA test and actually leave it on site without having to transport hazardous materials and dump them to another location where they're actually still liable for that oil for the next 25 years. So in situ remediation, the most common, there's several types of products out there, but the most common, the one that people are going to recognize the most, is going to be a microbial. This is a bug that is instituted into a liquid, which is then dispersed out over an area of contaminated soils or contaminated materials. Now, the idea is that these microbes, which are living organisms, they will actually go to the hydrocarbon, find the hydrocarbon, eat it, and digest it out into an inert compound. Now, that, to me, that's amazing in itself, that man was able to take a living organism, inject it into a fluid, and then have that organism there find a hydrocarbon, digest it out into an inert compound. That's, to me, that's amazing. I still find it amazing to this day. But, you know, they're just, that was good for that time. That was great technology for that time. But now, you know, we do have something better in the market. Now, one of the problems for microbial use is, number one, it's a living organism. So you have to keep that living organism alive. So a lot of times, if the pH level in the soil is really high, it's going to kill those bugs. And you've wasted a lot of money distributing that microbial on this contaminated site, plus the labor cost that goes involved. And they're going to have to make another shot at it. So there's a chance it may not even work. But if it is working, it still has to be maintenance. It has to be tilled and sprayed, aerated. A lot of man hours go into it. A lot of heavy equipment use come into it in some cases. But the labor costs go up really high. Even though the cost per gallon of the microbial is probably cheaper, where they actually make their money is going to be in the actual labor. So then we get right back into problem number one, which is cost. So we're driving up the cost to the customer who on a daily basis is trying to find out ways to save money without jeopardizing the quality of work. So that's been a big problem. You can't really be comfortable, or the customer, the oil field companies can't really be comfortable enough to go to a microbial for their remediation needs. Because like I said, if there's opportunities that may not work. You've got contaminated soil that's left on site for long periods of time where you can run into state fines and it's going to be displayed for everybody to see. So that's another big problem is with the in-situ remediation. So you have the opportunity to dig and haul, and then you have this other opportunity of in-situ remediation. And because of the unstableness of in-situ technology right now, the main thing that people go with is going to be a dig and haul, which is the most expensive thing, but it's the safest, at least as it refers to doing dig and haul versus using a microbial product.
And you said dig and haul, right? Like dig and haul?
Yes. Dig the material up and haul it off to a hazardous landfill.
Okay. A few things I wanted to mention, that whether it's Latchaw drilling out of down in, I think, the Permian and the Eagleford down there, or Harold Hamm, of course, out of Continental Resources, they love talking about remediation and bringing the land back better than when they got there. And they take a lot of pride, and other oil companies too, take a lot of pride in that, trying to leave it better than when they got there. And then, of course, the EPA and some other regulations came in, and then it wasn't as fun anymore, I guess, because there's so much accountability and everything else involved. That's just red tape. That's just nature of the beast. How was your relationship with some of the regulators and that sort of thing? I mean, a lot of times in oil and gas, it's a friend or foe situation, but I see somebody like you coming in as almost like a moderator and almost like a savior in a lot of times for these oil and gas companies who might be in over their head with a spill or something along those lines. Very long-winded way to ask. How was the regulation aspect, the EPA aspect, and your relationship with all of that taken into play here?
Yeah, so the one of the most common issues is bringing a new product into the market. Anybody that's ever had a product, especially one that stands out so much, if you're trying to bring it into the industry, in such a big industry such as the oil and gas industry, it's strenuous, and it takes a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience, a lot of working to be able to get to the point where you can talk with the environmental people. That way that they have the knowledge they need, because they have certain regulations and stipulations that they have to go by. And then you have, with your technology, you know what you can do and what you can't do. So it's really educating. That's what we've been doing for the last 15 years, is really educating the environmental aspect of what we do. And which is, you know, we got to have those regulations in place. If you don't, people will get carried away. And you know, we actually enjoy that regulation, being farmers and businessmen and understanding, you know, we do believe in environmental quality. So a lot of that step has been for us just educating the environmental department on our product. So we've had we've had one or two state representatives that were on a job that were probably a little bit too close to the road and had people, you know, that could drive by and see it. So there was that urgency to get it up in a timely manner. Being that our product takes just a little bit of time, on average about 1 to 3 days, to get to the desired look that they want and to be able to potentially pass the test, which we can pass the test up to 2 weeks. I mean, it can go to 2 weeks before we can pass. But some instances, they've been in a situation where they wanted to, they would rather dig and haul, being that it was so close to a road. But any time that we're back off the road and we're not in sight, you know, we have a really good leeway and a really good rapport with the state in passing their regulations. And I'll say this, one of our biggest customers, I won't mention them just for the sake of the remediation aspects, it's kind of hush-hush, but one of our biggest companies that we've done business for quite some time, we went out and did a job for them in a national forest. So the regulations there are going to be a little bit tighter, or actually a lot more tighter. But we went out there, and in one day, we were able to take a large amount of black oily dirt, turn it back to its original color, and put it back in the hole by the end of one day. And that was really hot outside. The hotter it is, the faster our product is going to work.
And that was Stephen Tidwell at Tidwell Industries. To listen to the full-length interview or to check out other energy features, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook as well as Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened in the sickles like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. And you keep trying to tell yourself the sun will come up.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
It's soft and warm, yeah. Yeah.
the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavin of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, John Patch with the North Dakota Water Department talking about the speculation of whether the Bakken is going to need 20 times the amount of water that they originally projected. Okay, getting to the Bakken water needed. Did I see a story or did I see a something about how there's going to be 20 times or 10 times more water needed in the Bakken than originally projected, or was there something along those lines?
Well, I think there's certainly speculation, and it's rightfully so, that water needs are going to increase in the Bakken just because of the additional drilling, the additional new wells that are coming online, the higher amounts of water that are required to frack each new well, and then the refracts that are happening, plus there is a thing called maintenance water that is on the horizon that I think everybody has to be looking at and considering. And that maintenance water is water, a small amount, maybe several barrels per day of water that's needed, fresh water I'm talking about, to keep the well operating properly without having an excessive amount of mineral precipitation on the piping that where the water is. Or where the oil is flowing out of the well, and you've got changes in temperature and pressure, which allow for certain minerals to precipitate and clog, and basically reduce and constrict the size of that. And so, to prevent that from happening, you have to add a little bit of fresh water, so that you don't have as much precipitation of those minerals taking place. So that, when you add up that even though it's only a few barrels per well per day, times the number of pumping, producing wells out there, and of course with time it may get worse, maybe you don't need this right away, but you do need it several years down the road for those older wells at that time, that's going to add up to a lot of water. It could be, exceeding the amount that's needed in the original fracking. And so certainly it's not unreasonable that you're going to see possibly a doubling, and that could just grow from there. But it's somewhat speculation at this point as to how much you're going to need. But then along with the industrial need, you have the population growth that's going to need additional water just for their municipal and rural water needs, human needs. And so whenever you have this sort of thing take place, water is always going to be one of those areas that you have to be concerned about meeting down the road, not just present time. So the area of the state that we're talking about, the western part of the state, is the drier part of our state. There isn't a lot of water on the landscape. A lot of it is rugged badland area where you don't have potholes and sloughs naturally occurring. You don't have a lot of groundwater resource. The groundwater resource that you have out there is protected from industrial development, and that's called the Fox Hills Aquifer. The Fox Hills Aquifer is a regional aquifer that's nearer the surface, obviously, than the Dakota that we were talking about earlier, and it can provide potable water, but it also provides a resource for livestock in the remote areas of the river valleys out there where wells can naturally flow, and so that you have to ensure that you're not going to over pump that aquifer for other uses, for industrial use, for instance, which is going to reduce the heads or the water levels in those wells, so that eventually they may not flow. So, you know, we have to, it's a weighing and balancing of trying to meet where's this water going to come from that's needed out in western North Dakota with the oil boom that's happening, and it's going to continue to happen. And, of course, the answer to that is the Missouri River and the free-flowing reaches and the reservoir reach of the Missouri River that need to be distributed, you know, out into the landscape where the wells are located.
To listen to the full-length interview with John Patch from the North Dakota Water Department, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Hear the soft red glow of the winter times and the clouds, and all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town, every time I roll back around.
Music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
I can almost feel the wind blow and taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth, where the nighttime lights hurt the light on the horizon. Hear the soft red glow of the wintertime sunny clouds, and all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town, every time I roll back around.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Days when I feel lost and separated, and every step I take falls on foreign ground, and I feel like going back to North Dakota. I'll take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion and freedom that my selfish solitude provides, and I'd hate to think that I'd become a stranger to the place where I was born, where my heart still resides, where the nighttime lights earth and light on the horizon, under the soft red glow of a wintertime sunny clouds.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of the best things I can share is I've had an opportunity to sit down with a community leader and Eric. And we were talking, and this community leader said, you know, United Way, what's your connection there? And Eric said, you know, as a child, my family would have been a family that would have benefited from United Way programming. And you don't necessarily get to see that down the road because you see someone who's been very successful in business and you see somebody who has helped a lot of other people along the way. But sometimes we don't stop to ask, you know, what's the why? What's your why behind that?
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.